Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Interactive, what does that mean? That means that we come on here and we interact with them. We have various speakers, of course, the city and states who come here to participate. And this evening, I'm anxious to introduce, I might as well stop here. Online, I want you to know that could you mute your phone, because we can hear everything in the background, and I do appreciate that. Thank you. God bless you. Again, I'm anxious to introduce a brother, colleague, and we're going to introduce you to him after we have prayer. Again, can I ask you if you could mute your phone?
No, Michael
because
was down there praying over to his phone.
Okay.
Michael Jackson.
Here you go, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to, I'm going to turn it on over to you. You know, the phones are lighting up, and of course, for those of you who are on, who are listening, via internet, via phone, you know, if you'd like to call me, the calling number is 347-237-4054, and you would be connected to online and they pop you on. I would like to let you know that every I don't know whose phone is not him, but if you're going to call, please be respectful of your phone. I appreciate that.
You can't hear.
Just thank you, Father, that you would intervene as we move through this Bible study, this interactive Bible study. We ask that you would be in the room and you would be able to speak this evening. Father, we pray that we are all on one accord. Father, we just humble ourselves and we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Michael, we are going to, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. And again, as you're going through, you know, your speech, there are numerous people from Atlanta, New York, who are listening at this time. And you know, if you could open up at a time or two, if you have questions, that would be great.
Okay.
We're going to turn it over to you.
I'll be out doing
right.
Myself.
Well, tonight we're going to be coming from Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 1 through 7. And the scripture reads, "Woe is me, for I am when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleans of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for a reward, and the great man, he utter his mischievous desires, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day that thy watchman and thy visitation
cometh,
now shall there be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put your confidence not in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are of his own household. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." I want to talk tonight about lessons from a letdown. We all have had an experience, some form of a letdown, some form of a heartbreak, some form of somebody making a promise to us they could not keep. And it left us in disarray, or it left us in a state of being Well, we didn't quite understand how we got to the place in which we're in. But tonight, I want to let you know that when God created us, He created us to be relational beings. It is God's desire that we are in healthy human functioning relationships upon the earth. He never designed for us to be an island of ourselves or in a utopia. But God designed us to engage with persons at different levels, to be social within the earth. So it is common to engage ourselves with others throughout the course of our life to gather different perspectives and experiences. These relationships are designed to enhance your life, to encourage you, to enhance the kingdom of God in the earthen realm. Knowing this, that Satan has strategically set out to destroy healthy human relationships in order to take away from the glory of God and to literally distract you and take your focus off the original intent of God. Many of us should know, even from the beginning of time, how God has placed healthy relationships and the enemy has attacked every functioning relationship throughout the Word of God. If we take a look at Adam and Eve, what started off that healthy relationship ended with the blame game. We had Eve blaming the serpent, and Adam blaming Eve, and it was just the blame, and that relationship began to crumble in the state which we're in now because of all the sin. You have Cain and Abel. But some of the human functioning relationship ended with one brother being killed. You and your roommate, what started off as a human functioning relationship, ended, and you're no longer in that type of living arrangement with that person. You and your many, many, many exes, what started off as a human functioning relationship, ended because somebody couldn't keep their end of the bargain that would make that relationship work out. So therefore, they became an ex because of something they did or you yourself had done. Many of us know that what it's like to experience a bad relationship. But when you get into a relationship, there are just some things you ought to expect. You have a right to expect integrity on all levels. In other words, I just want you to be honest with me. Tell me the truth, and we can work through almost anything as long as you're telling me the truth and we have open lines of communications open. But what has hurt you is when people have become deceptive and manipulative, and it is difficult to understand how someone has who proclaims integrity can react in the way they're reacting. Not only that, but you have to move a little further. Not only do you have a right to expect integrity, but you have a right to expect inspiration as well. You ought to be engaging with people that are speaking healthy and positive things into your life. I often use this saying when I'm teaching my young people at church, make my baby leap. But the Bible says that when Mary came to Elizabeth, and at the sound of Mary's voice, the baby inside of Elizabeth began to jump and leap, which is the indication that purpose recognized purpose. So if you're engaging in conversation and you don't feel that purpose inside of you, which God has impregnated you with, leaping and responding to what you're hearing, you ought to be careful. You ought to reevaluate who you're holding conversations with and who you allow it to feed you, because they can make you risk the ability to bring forth what God has placed inside of you, and you have a higher, greater chance of miscarrying what God has impregnated you with. Amen. Therefore, you need to be engaging with people that are propelling you into your dreams and to your goals. You need people that can push you to the next level, people that can motivate you to the next level. For the Bible in the book of Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. You need people that can celebrate you, not just tolerate you. You need to know that you have aspirations like you. You need people who have dreams like you. You have people that are going in the same direction as you. One of the hardest things you can do is come into your intersection of life, and you have people that are going in opposite directions. You come into a place where you've met the traffic jam. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. You're stuck, and now you become stagnant because you connected yourself with somebody that had no vision, somebody that had no direction, and somebody that did not know what the will of God was for their life. Not only that, but you have a right to demand intercession. You need people that can pray for you, not pray on you. You need somebody that knows when their back is up against the wall, you know that they can go before God on your behalf and petition. You need somebody in your corner that knows that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And in spite of all that, there are those on this line tonight that know what it's like to have those kinds of expectations and still be let down. It's a difficult place to be when you get into a certain situation with high expectations and people cannot live up to the standards in which you thought they possessed. We're going to talk tonight about this particular thing so you won't become paralyzed when someone does not do what they need to do in your life. There's no need for you to get bitter while you're going through. You need to understand that your best days are yet ahead. You are moving into another season in your life. Whatever did not happen for a reason. You ought to reevaluate it, get the lesson, so you can go to the next level. There's somebody on this line tonight that can attest that they thank God for everything down in their lives. They thank God for everything that did not happen because it's the letdown that propelled them to another level. They see differently. They speak differently. They walk differently. They act differently. They hear differently, all because somebody had let them down. The prophet Micah here gives us a wonderful insight into his own experiences. He is a man that has become very transparent regarding his relationships. And whenever human relationships are strained, it tends to take a toll on our spiritual relationship with God. Let us understand, my brothers and my sisters, when you deal with letdowns, people have made you promises and they could not keep them, you become weary in your situation. And in the body of Christ, we have a need to be honest when we're tired of something. I don't care how much you try to pretend. I don't care how much Mary Kay and Avon you try to put on your face. I don't care how much cologne you try to spray it down or how you try to dress it up. When you're tired of something, your frustrations will begin to rise to the surface of your being, and people will begin to see how you're fed up with what's going on around you. The Bible declares to us tonight, the prophet is honest because he is going through a personal turmoil. He is weary and he's worn by his experiences. He is consumed with the ideal that people have made promises that they could not keep. He has given and he has nothing to show for it. He has made deposits into it, and he's getting nothing in return. And many of you are coming to church, going to your various churches. You love the Lord, and the truth of the matter is you are experiencing what the prophet says in verse 1. Woe is me, for I am one who has seen others receive their harvest of grace. But when it comes to me, I keep coming up empty. I thought I would be the first one to receive the first harvest. But yet I'm waiting for others to get theirs, and I have nothing to show for it. I want you to understand that the reality of coming up empty, some of us know what it's like to see others blessed. It's not that you are ungrateful, but you have sown and you have made some investments, and you should have seen some returns by now. Some of you on this line tonight have it in your spirit where if you hear one more sermon about waiting on God, you're going to lose your mind because it would appear that God would have done something by now. He says everybody else is getting this, but I keep coming up empty, and that's what we define tonight as frustration. Verse number 2, he says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. He shows us that the good man is perished throughout the earth. There is none among him. Right is almost extinct. And you see the news, you look at the news, every day you see somebody doing something. When you thought they should have done the right thing, somebody should have spoken up, somebody should have intervened, but no one comes to the surface and seems like there is no one standing on the side of right anymore. It is almost hard to find somebody that's just a good person. He says that it's hard to find someone that wants to do the right thing. My brothers and my sisters, we are living in a world where people are so manipulative and so conniving, you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to bring to you. Just when you think you got somebody understood or you've got a friend, that's when you bring them closer into you. That's when they show their true color. I believe it was the OJs that said, had a song that came up that said they're smiling in the face. All the while they're trying to take your place. Backstabbers, them backstabbers. You got people that smile in your face while they got daggers in their hands. You got people who are smiling in your face when they got shovels behind their back. They just dug a ditch waiting for you to fall into it. You don't understand how people could come these type of ways when you're giving all that you need to give in a godly fashion. You thought you should be met with love, but you find that you're met with some cold hearts. And Jesus warned us in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, in the last days, for the love of many shall wax cold. You'll have people love you once, and then they'll hate you in the same second. follow identity. Somebody knows here what I'm talking about, because it's hard to delineate between relationships because you are not sure what angle people are coming from. You don't know if people are speaking to you just to speak to you, or if they've got some type of agenda or what's going on around you. So he becomes apprehensive because even the best of them, he says, seem to have some type of trick up their sleeve. You got people that would throw a rock in a crowd, and they'll hide their hands, and they'll fake try to help you figure out who threw the rock when it was them who threw the rock themselves. Verse 3, he says,
so true,
that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince acts and the judge acts for a reward. And the great man, he utter his mischievous desires, so they wrap them up. He gets a revelation of evil in this particular verse. He sees how people begin to manipulate. He sees how people do evil with both hands. He sees how everybody got an angle. Everybody got a part that's deeper than what he thought. Everybody is out for blood. At the same time, they have a way of covering it up. And isn't that just how some folk will do? They'll get so close to you when you become comfortable. You'll tell them some of the problems you're going through. You'll tell them some of the things that you're dealing with, some of those secret sins, as I like to call them. And you thought that you have a confidant that you could rely in, that you thought they would help pray you through, but they put your information on the daily news. It's placed on Good Morning America. It's placed on the Today Show. All because you thought that you could confide in them, but they were so quick to run like Harvey Beer, who came and said that the British were coming, the British were coming. They're quick to put your business out there in the street, but they're so not eagerly quick to put theirs out there. He says there, you got to understand that in a relationship, there are people that will smile in your face, but they will cover up their real agenda for your life. You may feel used and you may get upset, but it's nothing more than a good old-fashioned test. God has allowed some of this stuff to come into your life so that you can get the lesson out of them. He wants you to know that this stuff would push you away from him, or if it will push you closer to him. Somebody on this line tonight can attest that what you have been through has only made you closer to God. You have never prayed the way you do now. You have never been in church as much as you are now. You have never been used. If you had not been used like you've been used and abused like you've been used, that's why you got to thank God for every fake friend, because now you know what a real friend is like. You got to thank God for everyone that played you, because you say, I'll never be played again. I got to thank God for my mountains, and I got to thank him for my valleys, and I got to thank him for how he brought me through. No matter what comes in my life, I have learned some lessons out of it. And what I got to do in the meantime is, I know you're empty. I know that the good man is a stick from the earth and people are doing evil with both hands, but you have a reason to endure. But verse 4 says, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. He says, even the best of them will let you down. The most upright of them let you down. He says in verse 4b of that, for the day of the watchman and thy visitation come, now shall be the perplexity. The prophet here recognizes that there was no need to lose energy trying to get back at those that did him wrong. And that's what we got to stop doing. We got to stop putting our energy in the wrong place. We got to stop trying to find out how we can get even with some people. We got to stop trying to find out how we can make somebody happy or how we can make somebody love us that don't love us. We got to stop putting our eyes and our focus on the things that are not prospering us. We got to take retrospect and do like the Aristotle, the great philosopher, said, to thy own self be true. The first law of life is self-preservation. You got to make sure that your life is right with God. You got to make sure that your happiness is not just in something happening, but you got to make sure that you have real joy in your life. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. He didn't say anything about happiness, because happiness is contingent upon things happening, and just as soon as things go the opposite way in which you think they're going, they have a tendency to pull you down into a depressive state. So you got to learn how to focus and put your attention on the things which will propel you to that level. The prophet says here, don't lose energy over it, because when God deals with them until the point they are perplexed, he says God is going to take control, and God is going to have them so confused that they're not going to know which way they're going. You cannot handle an enemy that knows how to work with you. So therefore, you've got to turn them over to God and let God do the fight, because the battle is not yours. the battle belongs to the Lord. They're going to look at you and wonder how you're going on in spite of what they have done to you or what they know what's getting ready to happen to you. But you got to let some people know when you leave this line tonight. Yes, you may know my story. You may even know my situation. You may even know my dark, deep secrets. But God is getting ready to confuse my enemy. My enemy thought I was going to be in a pitfall and torn all up from the floor up. But when God shows up, he deals with them to the point where he's going to elevate you in the same time. For Psalms 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. And you let your enemy know your soon is getting ready to come. Stop wasting energy trying to get back at people that did you wrong. Go on with your life. Again, I say your best days are still ahead of you. Although you have been let down, you have to go on with your life. Now that you understand, the prophet says, there is another place I have arrived where I need wisdom in my surroundings. It is important now to know that where you are and when you are let down, the enemy tries to get in the flesh. When you're let down, you're not on your P's and Q's, as my grandmama used to say. You're kind of emotionally on a roller coaster. And the worst thing you can do is try to fight an enemy that knows how to fight you because you've been laying in the bed with him so long. The enemy knows your every weakness, so that's why you got to be real with yourself and know what your flaws are. You got to understand your shortcomings. You got to understand where you're struggling in these particular areas of your life, because the enemy has laid down with you. The enemy has studied you. The enemy has examined you, and the enemy knows how to fight you. So if you're not careful, you'll get whooped every time because you're trying to fight an enemy that knows how to fight you. You need to understand this, that sometimes when you're in this, you need that type of wisdom and pray for the wisdom as the King Solomon had did. It is important now to know that when the enemy comes, oftentimes when we have relationships that fail us, we become vulnerable and gullible, and somebody tries to come in and fill that void. To another bad relationship. You got to let somebody know you got to stay off the rebound, sweetie. You can't jump from one relationship to another relationship when you have not healed from the brokenness of the previous relationship. You cannot jump into one bad business partner to another bad business partner when all of them seem to be crooked and not have the same vision that you have. You can't jump into a commitment with somebody who they don't see what God has taken them. They have no idea of what God has taken them. They have no vision and no clarity. When the word of God clearly says that without a vision, the people perish. So you're trying to hook yourself up with somebody who's already dying, and you're trying to put them on life support based on what anointing that you're carrying. You have to understand this thing that when you get to the place, you got to let people know you just can't put the ball back on the court. Every now and again, the ball must come off the field to be examined to make sure the strings have not been broken. Some of us have been on the rebound wondering why the ball has been flat. We need a season to regroup. It's okay to be by yourself. It's okay to walk alone. It's okay to hug a pillow or a teddy bear at night. You don't always have to have somebody next to you, especially with that somebody next to you do not know the power of prayer, do not know what God has taken them, do not know what the significance it is to have God not only as Lord but also as Savior of your life. That's when we got folks around us that are moving in the same direction we are. You have to connect with people that are connected with God. These are not people that are convinced, conniving, and manipulative. People that speak impartation into your life. Let downs will expose every lie, and it will bring the truth to the light. Now, the truth is very real, and we all need the truth in our lives. And the reality of this is that if you really want to hear the truth, listen to what he says in verse 6, 5 and 6. He says, trust you not in a friend, and put your confidence not in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonors the father, and the daughter rises up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are of his own household. Now, the prophet in this particular verse did not say you should not have friends. He says, trust you not in a friend. You have to be careful what you put into a friendship. Understand, everybody does not qualify to be your friend. you have to be able to discern who should remain an associate and who you should promote to the level of friend.
That's
you got to understand either Jesus had one in his community or in the other 12 that was a devil, and you got to understand that they will walk with you, they'll lay with you, they'll sleep with you, they'll eat with you, yet they're still a devil. So you have to understand and ask God for discernment who you can promote in your life. But the problem in the body of Christ is we have had these voids in our life that we're so quick to fill them with something because we're so tired of having them empty. In the Old Testament, how someone transferred a blessing was they laid hands on the next generation and the blessing transferred from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. We're so quick to lay hands on stuff when God still has it in the process of being worked out. We're trying to bless it and confirm it when God is saying, I'm still working on it. I'm still shaping it. I'm still molding. I'm still fashioning. I'm still there. It's the most levels that I got to take this person to. You're trying to go to another one level higher in God. You have to understand that the higher you go in altitude, the thinner the air is. So why would you take somebody to a higher altitude when they suffer from asthma? You make them run the risk of having an asthma attack and dying because they were not called to go to a higher elevation.
Ooh.
You need to listen here. This thing here tonight is so real that everybody cannot be your friend. And you need to understand that. Everybody can't be my friend. Everybody can't come to my house. Everybody can't. No. You can't do that. Some people need to learn how we can meet at Starbucks, we can have some coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, but you can't come into my house because your agenda is crooked, your spirit ain't right, and everything around you, I got to love you because by this show, all men know that I'm one of his disciples. If I love, he's one another. So I got to love you, but I ain't got to bring you that close into my life, and it's okay for you to understand you must love some people, but you don't have to bring everyone so close into your inner circle. Even Jesus had 12, but he also took 3 a little deeper, and then he had 1 that he took a little further. You got to understand you may have all these people around you, but each one of them has a purpose in your life. You need to ask God to help you identify those purposes that they have in your life. You need to understand this thing that you cannot invite, as I said, everybody into your house. There is some stuff that we may not ever agree on. Everybody cannot be your friend, and sometimes you have made somebody something that God never intended for that person to be in your life. That's why you got let down. They never had the depth or the altitude to accomplish where God was taking you to. Everybody cannot be your friend, my brothers and my sisters. And I need you to understand that you have to learn how to handle favor. Verse 5b says, keep the doors of your mouth closed for her who lieth in your bosom. Translation, be careful who you share your blessings with. Those you think that are celebrating you are really sitting back with lumps in their throat, wishing that it was them. You need to understand something about the favor of God. The favor of God is not fair. This is what the favor of God would do. The favor of God would take you into a job that you know you don't have a degree to get, but he'll give you the job anyway. The favor of God knows you got bad credit, knows your credit is rock bottom, but he'll give you the loan for the house or the car anyway. Favor would tell you walk into a doctor's office. They tell you to get ready to call the funeral home because just you have no more time to live. Favor of God will put life back into your body. The favor of God will take you to another level. The favor of God will open doors that no man can shut. The favor of God will help you to get over some hurdles and some mountains and some valleys and some byways and some highways. The favor of God will take you further than anything else in your life. You need to understand the favor of God is not fair. So you can let next time that somebody looks at you strange and cockeyed, trying to figure out how you got what you got, let them know, don't get mad at me, get mad at my daddy, because my daddy gave me favor. Favor ain't fair. I didn't ask for it, but he gave it to me. And because he gave it to me, I'm going to walk in my authority. I'm going to walk in my anointing. I'm going to walk in the favor in which he gave me, because in the favor of God, there's also a protection that comes by being in his will. You got to understand the enemy knows that the safest place in this world is in the will of God. And if you're in the will of God, God will give you favor to handle stress. He'll give you favor to handle pressure. He'll give you favor to handle rejection, because you understand that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The head would not always be in the front, that you will have positions that you may be in the back today, but there's a shift that's getting ready to take place. The last is getting ready to become first, because God is about to impart a new outpouring of his favor and grace in this era. You need to understand this, my brothers and my sisters, because people will come with all kind of craziness to break
they'll come with all type of trials and tribulations and pressures. They'll even dig up your path, but you got to be so great in God that even the favor of God can cover your path. Yes, I was an ex-crack kid. Yes, I was an ex-prostitute. Yes, I've been in jail. Yes, I was walked the street. Yes, I sold drugs. Yes, I did that. But let me tell you something. God got some preachers that's swinging on poles right now. God got some choir members that's out in the club right now singing. God can put the favor that he has on anybody and put them in position and places that man tries could never put you in. That's why it's best that you stay in the will of God, because in the will of God, he'll open up room for your gift. He'll put you in places that people would never have dreamed of. I look at this thing every now and again when I give an example of somebody who really didn't have nothing. Fantasia, the American Idol. Won the American Idol without a high school diploma. She won the American Idol not being able to read, but she was gifted in singing. And God has placed some gifts inside of you, that's inside of you, because God is waiting for you to stir up the gift that's inside of you and to make room for your gift. God will allow that favor to rest on your life. So when you come waking up with dreams and you come seeing yourself doing these things, you need to understand God's favor is working on you. You have to understand that this thing, you need to let them know that God has for me, it is for me. There's so much favor on your life that you don't have to brag about anything. Only thing you got to do is just walk in the room and the favor of God will light the room up. You don't have to talk about how many degrees you got. You ain't got to talk about the money that you got, because you could be broke, busted, and disgusting. But the favor of God will be on you so great that it'll make you look like you are a billionaire. You could be without and not and struggling, but the favor of God will meet all your needs. You need to understand this thing today, because all you have to do is walk around and the enemy will see what it is that you got. Now he says here in verse 7, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Verses 1 through 6 is all whereas this and whereas that. Whereas this and whereas that. It's like a legal documentation. But verse 7, we get a therefore, which is a shift in your spiritual thinking. And therefore makes all of verse 1 through 6 take a back seat, because he says, I will look to the Lord and I will wait for the God of my salvation. Now here, wait is an indication that you just not going to sit here and do nothing. Wait means that I know God is getting ready to do something for me, so I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to be active. I'm still going to do what God has called me to do. I'm going to sing. I'm going to preach. I'm going to do what I have to do, because I know that in my ministering, in my walking with God, God is working on my behalf. When I can't see him working in front of me, I understand that he's working on me. When I can't see God doing what it is that I'm praying for, but God is behind the scenes of rearranging my life in other areas to prepare me for the next level of impartation, to take me to the next dimension in which he has for me. So I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord. I'm going to work when they tell me that they don't need no help. I'm going to seek what I need to do for the Lord. I'm going to be busy doing what the will of God is for my life. Because when I get to verse 8, it says, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. They tell me trouble don't last always. And I can put the therefore in there, because I got a blessed assurance that although I may be in darkness, he said he will be a light unto my pathway. Although I may be without, the word of God gave me a promise that he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I may be down and out, and my body may be afflicted, but the Bible tells me he has another medicine in the hem of his garment, that there is a leaf on every tree for the healing of the nation. I need to understand that God gave me 8,810 promises, and I'm going to stand on every last one of them. My body may be racked with pain, and it may be seem like it's almost the end, and doctors don't know what else to do. But the word of God said he was wounded for my transgression. Ooh. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I need to understand that no matter what comes my way, no matter what I may be faced with, no matter what I'm dealing with, God will show up, because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. And because of that, I can go back to my elementary days when being in kindergarten. I can say he's my A to my Z. A, he's an awesome God. B, he's a burden bearer. C, cares for me. D, he's my deliverer. E, he is my everlasting father. F, he's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. G, he's a good God all the time, and all the time God is good. H, he's my help in the time of trouble. I, incredible minds, want to know about him. J, he's a just God. K, he's the King of kings. L, he's the Lord of lords. M, he makes my way when I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. God steps in and make my shortness become greatness. He takes little and makes it much in his hands. N, he never failed me. O, he's omnipotent, I'm not present, I'm vicious. P, he is the Prince of Peace. Q, inquiring minds want to know about this man I'm talking about. R, he's a rock in a weary land. S, he's my shield and my buckler. So when the enemy throws his fiery darts up against me, my shield penetrates, and it cannot penetrate the shield of faith. That's why I can say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me shall be condemned, because my shield protects me, my shield covers me, my shield keeps me. That's why I can say, see, I will trust in the Lord until the day I die, because you, he understands my shortcomings. He understands my flaws. He understands my abilities and my inabilities. He understands what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not capable of doing. God understands my everything because he says he knows how many hairs I got upon my head. B, I can be victorious as long as I'm in his will. W, he's water in a weary land. So sometimes it seems like everything in my life has dried up. God will come in and begin to water the dry areas of your life. X, he's excellent. Y, yes, Jesus loves me. And see, he's still his mother's good work. My brothers and my sisters, lessons from a letdown is you cannot let that problem get you down. You cannot focus on what it is that's happening around you. You got to do what they said in a new text. Your eyes above things which are above in the book of Colossians. And you got to look towards the hills from which cometh your help. Because if you focus on what it is that's around you, that's trying to pull you down, your vision will take you in a down type of position. If you're looking around trying to get other people to help you out, you're going to be going around in circles because you're not looking for where your breakthrough is coming. But if you look toward the hills, for which cometh your help, I declare and decree tonight, and I quote, that God will deliver, God will set you free, God will be that what you need him to be, and that letdown that you're experiencing, he knows nothing more than a mere test, which will lead to a testimony on how God strengthened you, how God kept you, and how God brought you out of a situation that should have consumed you. But glory be to God. He came and he rescued you and pulled you out. That's why you can say, rejoice, I can be on my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When I start, the Lord shall be a light unto me. God bless you.
Wow. Yes. Hallelujah. My goodness, my goodness. We're going to open up the lines for any questions. Questions for the man of God. Amen. The mic's open. Hallelujah. What a powerful message. Any questions?
Well, I don't have any questions, but that was a powerful word. That word, you know, everybody needed to be silent. Nobody needed to interrupt the Spirit of the living God through this vessel, this oracle. This was so powerful. I'm telling you, me and Brother John and I was talking today, and some of the things you said, brother, was in our conversation. But
wow.
Let me tell you something. How you broke this thing down, I'm telling you, it's not just life transforming. It's not just bread for and food for thought. It generates us. It ignites us. And you know what? We could see, I know for me personally, I could see myself in the different areas that you have spoken about and how God is so faithful and just to deliver us right there where we are. He comes face to face. Brother, you need to come to my church. My pastor Dawn would have loved to hear this. Lord,
God bless you.
I
didn't hear you.
No, I was saying she might even be home. I see another New York number, another line on there.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, really? Praise God.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying in the day and time in which we're living, sister, we have so much going on around the news. I tell people all the time, if you're not convinced that we're living in the last days, turn on your news for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see how families are falling apart, how communities are falling apart. I'm 35 years of age, and I've heard my grandmother tell stories of how communities were so tight. In the black community, how they were so tight that if you cut up down the street at Sister Sue's house, you got a whooping by Sister Sue, Sister Mary, and Sister Betty before you even got home to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you got another one there. The dichotomy of our society has shifted so that I tell them all the time, I'm afraid because this new generation don't know God. And they have no type of form of education. So when it comes time for me, if there is any Social Security left, I'm afraid who's going to be running the country.
Amen. That's true.
So they don't have, the Bible says they have a form of godliness.
Yes.
But there's nothing to it. The enemy knows how to jump, shout, speak in tongues, everything, because he's a great imitator. And what has happened, because some people, because they really don't want to come to church, they have to find a way to endure that hour and a half, 2 hours service. They start imitating what they see.
Yes, yes.
So we got to understand, we have to have a discerning eye, because all this is taking place around us, but God is trying to birth something new into the earth, but yet we're so clouded by chaos that's around us. The body of Christ needs to reshift its focus back onto the Word of God and stand on it.
Yes. And that's why it's so important for us to have that relationship, to have to spend that time with God. You know, to set away, you know, set apart from all the hustle and the bustle of the world. God wants us to come into that intimacy and not always be running our mouth when we're praying, but to listen to him, you know, to listen to him. And like you said, you know, some people come in our lives, because I've been there, some people come in our lives and they have their own agenda. You know, they have their own agenda. And I like what you said, how you're at a level and you got, and you're bringing somebody in that needs oxygen or have asthma.
Right.
That was good.
Yeah. You
they can't breathe where
place.
You're breathing.
Yeah.
They cannot breathe. They're suffocating and you're this
they can't
was good.
Go up
this,
to that level.
No, not at all.
See, what happens is, and I look at this, and I was studying this also. I was tweaked between what I wanted to talk about tonight. I was in the book of Genesis that when God had, after Adam and Eve had came and they had sinned in the third chapter, they said they were hiding behind trees.
Yeah.
When God called them. Now, I looked in the book of Matthew, and it showed where once the man's eyes were open, the first time when Jesus washed and healed, he said, before he told him to go back, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men as though they're trees. And I said, God, what is the connection between these two scriptures? And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me that sometimes we're so quick to hide behind other men that we think God can't see us. They said Adam and Eve hid behind trees. The man who was blind, who had part vision, it wasn't clear vision though, he saw men that looked like trees. And Adam and Eve were so quick to run behind trees thinking they were going to hide from God. What has happened in the church now is we've become so quick to hide behind other people that we're not entering into that intimacy in which God is calling us back into. We're not getting into that deep place in which God is trying to bring us back. God is desiring relationship, not religiosity. God is desiring that intimacy from us. Not all these programs, these chicken dinners, these fish fries, these afternoon programs, all of that. God is saying, no, I need you. And I need you to get back to where you are at. I need that close connection with you, because once you're in the spirit, Donald Lawrence wrote a song that if you need to know God's plan for your life, get in the spirit and let God minister to you. We're so quick to ask other people opinions. on what God is doing for our lives, and God is saying, come back to that relationship with me, and I'll show you. We as a body, we have to stop hiding behind these things and go to a loving God and enter back into that relationship in which you were created to be in.
Amen. And it's not like we can't get godly counseling. But you know
right.
what? With every godly counseling that we get, when you're in that intimacy with God, he's
mm-hmm.
going to bring that witness.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a witness to what God has shared with you. And
mm-hmm.
if he hasn't shared that with you, you'll wait on it. Because
Absolutely.
You trust that godly. I like what you said. You can't invite everybody to your house.
That's right.
Like bringing them into your sanctuary.
That's right.
No.
<I know.
laughs> Come on
so
now.
Yes.
Everybody ain't coming, you know.
I
Come on. And we have to tap into that spirit of discernment. And that's
mm-hmm.
where the intimacy comes in at. That's where
right.
that time spent with God comes in at. Because one thing I've asked God a long time ago. I'm much older than you. a long time ago, but that doesn't mean nothing because you are there, brother.
Thank you so much.
Is that, Lord, I don't want anything to sneak up on me. Now,
mm-hmm.
it's not that they haven't. Things haven't seen. But, you know, he'll either give me a dream
mm-hmm.
or he'll reveal it in Scripture. And then
mm-hmm.
he says, Edna, don't speak, and I have done that, don't speak
mm-hmm.
too quickly, but wait on it and watch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch and pray.
Right.
And then it will reveal itself. So even in our dreams and whatnot, you can't tell everybody everything.
That's right. You can't. And I was looking, reading in my study time. That was the problem with Joseph. He talked too much.
Yeah. I know that deal.
But he didn't know no better. He was excited about what God was showing him. But so you
mm-hmm.
got to keep your mouth. A fish only get caught because it opens its mouth.
Right. But where you said that there are friends that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
you have to know that one.
Or, yeah, know, yeah, absolutely.
Or the couple or few that God has around you, that you can
mm-hmm.
share that. Because you know that they're praying for you. You know that they are on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're blessed,
absolutely.
They feel blessed.
Absolutely. They celebrate
not,
with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They're not smiling in your face, and all the time they want to take your place. Those backstabbers.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, help us.
And that's sad. You know what? That's very sad that you even have that type of person in the New Local Testament church. You have that type of person that you sit next to in church that worship the same, that supposedly worship the same God you worship in. Believe in the same doctrine that you believe, yet they're sitting there because of jealousy as reared its ugly head. They're
yeah.
waiting to stab you in your back. And I tell people all the time when I do this illustration of whole armor of God, that Paul describes the whole armor of God. He covers everything except for the back of the soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And the back is left open because we're supposed to be fighting back to back as they did in Rome. When the soldiers fought, they fought back to back. So when one soldier fell, another one ran to cover the back of the other soldier.
Good.
Their back
yes.
was never exposed. But what happens is when somebody falls, people just look and talk about the person instead of covering them or picking them up. That's why the Bible says if there's any sick among you or anyone has been overtaken in a fault, let him call upon the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Amen.
And they're not calling the elders. They're calling the local newspapers. And to put your business out there.
Yeah. Extra.
It takes the spotlight off of their stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And instead of being real with each other, that we all have sin, we all have shortcomings, we all mess
yes.
up. But God takes brokenness
mm-hmm.
and he makes something beautiful out of it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think somebody else wanted to say something.
That was running in my mind the whole time was by Vicki Wyman, Long As I Got King Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Time you open your mouth, that's the only song I heard in my head. Wow.
Well, God bless you. Yes.
This was a powerful message.
Any more questions? I see it later on the line. Any more questions?
Yeah, I wanted to say something. This is Minister Robinson. In our, we have so many people that attend, but not really soaking the word up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, because when I'm in church, I'm listening to the word, but I'm also looking at reactions. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to see where people really listening and hearing the word and then going out and acting on the word. So
mm-hmm.
my thing I'm saying is that the body of Christ has to be strengthened, you know. In all churches, we're so much in tradition and so much into ourselves that we're not even worshiping God like we should, you know.
Right.
It should be a collective worship, you know. And
mm-hmm.
when you see people that come and supposed to be a part of the body, and they're sitting down doing the worship service, or they're
mm-hmm.
they're not even praising, or they're doing something that's against
they're on Facebook
worship. Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So
they're texting.
That's the thing that we need to do in our churches is to get everybody on one accord. Because see,
mm-hmm.
you don't see the physical body, which Jesus talks a lot about the body, and he talks,
mm-hmm.
you know, he mentions the body so much when he's talking to the disciples and the people, and we need to get the physical body, the people of God, back on course. Because, see, we're way off course when we go to
mm-hmm.
church. It's more tradition, and because we were brought there as kids or whatever. See, so, I mean, we really need to understand what God is saying. Because, like you said earlier, we're in the last days, and there's so much.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the news and all the stuff that's going on, and see, I'm a part of that time when the parents... When you messed up, the landlady whooped you, the aunt whooped you, and you didn't get whooped, and then you got whooped one more time when you got home. I'm part of that generation. And
okay.
today, there's so much helter-skelter going on. You know what I'm saying? So this is a good outlook right here, what Elder Clay is doing, because it gives people an extension to listen and to learn
mm-hmm.
more about the body of Christ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said today was great. And see, we need to have more people listening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God bless, yeah.
And that one accord mindset and spirit, you know, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. If we can get on one accord, we can create such an atmosphere that when the drunk man comes in or someone, creative miracles and miracles will be an everyday thing, not like an occasion.
Right.
God wants the body to come to such an accordance that all we have to do is speak.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, when the woman or the man of God is up giving us this rhema word,
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't be on our cell phones. We shouldn't be texting. We shouldn't.
Right.
Our mind should be on what they're saying.
Amen.
So much that it will ignite the spirit in us.
Right.
To give praises unto God, that the Shekinah glory would come in.
Absolutely.
It would make the atmosphere conducive to his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If we could just get on that one accord. God wants to shake us up. What are you saying, brother?
Look how many of us are from across the nation listening to this one particular blog. We've been fed, and we're
Amen.
On one accord. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if this type of atmosphere, you know, it doesn't make no difference what the name of your church is.
Yes.
Do you know who Jesus is?
Amen.
The main focus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the thing is, if we all are listening, just like we are doing right now across the country, we're getting fed and we're on one accord.
Yeah.
Body
mm-hmm.
fed. See, and that's where we lack at.
Yeah.
Right.
We got
Absolutely.
So many diverse churches and so many people with their own doctrine and defending
mm-hmm.
their church, not the word, they're defending their church doctrine and,
uh-huh.
and the things of their church, and not looking at what God says. Because we should never, when we come across a Christian, we should never have any dialect about my church do this and my church do that.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's all about Jesus. See, it's all about Jesus. And that's what we're missing. We're not understanding that you know, when we run up into another brother or sister and we know we should be able to identify with that person. Just it's just like your body. Your body is flowing perfectly. You know, I mean, when you're healthy, everything is moving correct. And when there's an illness in there, the rest of the body attacks that particular part to get rid of that illness. See, so that's how we, when we see each other, hi, brother, hey, sister, and show love and not so much about defending the doctrine of this particular church because of the name of the church. See, the church, you know, this is all about Jesus. It's not about what church you go to. See, and that's what we're defending the church.
Right. I tell people all the time, I say, I know it's not spelled that way. I say, if you take the first letter of the denomination and rearrange a few, you get the word demon. I don't think denomination was ever birthed from God. To me, I personally believe that it's a trick of the enemy to keep the body separated. I tell people all the time, I have some friends from their various denominations, which I won't mention, that you only save because you do this, do that. I said, well, there's five salvation stories in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Five different salvation stories. So just because one didn't speak in tongues does not mean that was the Ethiopian faith, because he didn't leave speaking in tongues. But the Bible clearly states that all five of those individuals were saved. So there is, I tell people all the time, my roommate came from an apostolic background. I was in college. I say, let's just get something clear. Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God, that he came, the born of a virgin, he worked miracles, he was judged by Pilate, went to a cross, and got up on the third day? That's all we need to talk about. Amen. And I think that's what the focus needs to be. The focus needs to be on Jesus and not all the other shenanigans that we try to hold and make our denomination more superior to one another.
Amen.
All there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism.
And one baptism.
And there's no schism in the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
There should be no schism. Whether it's black, white, green, yellow, purple, it is no colorblind. The kingdom of God is colorblind. The only thing the kingdom of God recognizes is the blood. Is the blood.
Absolutely.
The blood of Jesus.
The deal works.
That's it.
Amen.
Jesus
is the head, and the rest of the body are the people. And see,
amen.
So when you look at the different parts of the body, you have the lungs, you have the capillaries, you have the foot, you have the thumb. All of the rest of the part of the body plays a significant role in maintaining the entire body.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the head is separate from the body.
Yeah.
And that's the same way Jesus described it. See, so when you look at the different churches and denominations that we have, you know, you have a church that maybe they teach on faith. You have a church that maybe they teach on giving. You have a church.
Right.
See, that's all different parts of the body. Just like the physical body. See, so when all that body comes together, it becomes a strong body and it's knowledge body. See, and that's what we fail to realize. Instead of saying, well, my church teaches on this and your church is wrong. No, you're just a part of the body. You might be the hand of the body or you might be the toe of the body. But we all got to come together and formulate this one body because Jesus is Lord and he's the head. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have to close it down. We're past the hour. Reverend Jackson, I am so happy that the Lord, got me to ask you to come on to share a word, and we have been truly, truly blessed. You are a quiet man of God, but surely on fire. Surely on fire.
It was a pleasure.
Let down leads to a testimony. I love it. I love it. We're going to get ready to close. Reverend Jackson, we're going to ask you to close us out in prayer. Next week we have Elder Lowe's from Atlanta, Pastor Mixon, New York, and Bishop Palmer is in waiting coming. So we do invite you back again. We do thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are in the beginning here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8. We do invite you back. Remember, we love you with the honor of you most.
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you right now for what our ears have heard. God, we thank you right now for the actual creation of the ether waves. We thank you that the message has yet went out on these ether waves and that it has penetrated the heart and minds of your people, O God. Father God, let it be an encouragement to somebody, O God. Let them know that what they may be experiencing does not defeat them. They may have a bump in the road, but God, you are a deliverer, just like you said that you are. God, we thank you right now for the visionary behind this right now, God. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you because you have gifted him with this vision, and we ask that you bless it right now, God, that it may enlarge its territory in the name of Jesus the Christ. We do pray. We thank you for all our brothers and sisters that have tuned in and who had a desire to tune in. God, as you keep this unified body of believers together for one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, what is in Jesus the Christ's name, we do pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Amen.